So we continue our journey in prophets today. And as we get to prophets, I think one of the things to keep in mind is probably the most common assumption about what prophets did is that they predicted the future, particularly specific events in the future. That's not so much the case. Instead, what the prophets were more invested in was interpreting the present for their time, but they also interpret the present for our time. Prophets challenged those who were in power, both government and religious officials. They challenged the ways in which the kings and priests kept saying that they were doing God's will, no matter what it was, and the assumption that God was always on their side. So here's an interesting tidbit. Many of the kings back then had prophets on their payroll. Royal prophets, paid by the king. So, guess who those prophets said was on God's side? The ones who paid them. They knew who buttered their bread. In contrast, the prophets we get in the Bible, they were not the paid prophets. They were a different kind. They were outside the system. So today we hear a little bit from Isaiah, and I'd suggest in order to make some sense of what he's talking about, we need to know some of the history in the setting. Now don't worry, we're not going to have a 3-hour lecture. I'd love to, but we're not going there. Isaiah lived in a time when all that was left of Israel was a tiny, small kingdom of Judah. The other half of Israel had been destroyed by the Assyrians. Now Judah, it's where Jerusalem was and the temple, Judah had no resources to speak of. The only importance Judah had to any of its neighbors is that it was just about the only flat spot between Europe and Africa. It was a trade route. So when the neighbors wanted Israel or Judah, mostly what they were looking for was a highway expansion project. They didn't really care about the people who lived there. They were pretty much in the way. They were a nuisance. But of course, for the Jewish people living there, they had a different attitude about their land. It was their promised land. It was a holy place. So they were willing to fiercely protect it at any cost. So by the time Isaiah comes around, in an attempt to save their country, which sounds like a good thing, right? Saving our country. They got into an alliance with one of their neighbors to protect them from a bigger neighbor. The cost is that they had to let all kinds of foreign religious practices creep in. So the royal prophets and the priests, they all said it was okay. But Isaiah said, no, sorry kids, I got news for you. Isaiah said God was going to punish them for their unfaithfulness. And God was going to use their neighbors to punish them. Isaiah was not predicting the future. All he needed to do was look outside the walls of Jerusalem and to look at the approaching armies. You didn't have to be able to predict. You just needed to be able to open your eyes. So when Isaiah looked out, they didn't see, for example, the forests outside of Jerusalem anymore. They had been cut down. And they were used to build siege machines and towers to defeat Jerusalem. All they saw were stumps. Nothing left. Isaiah was not predicting the future. He was interpreting the present. He was telling them why these things were happening, not when and not how. And the reason, Isaiah said, is that God's people were trusting themselves in their power instead of trusting God. Prophets do not predict the future as much as they interpret and explain the present. They told why certain things were happening. So the theme throughout all the prophets is that God's people continue to be unfaithful. They worship other gods. They follow their own ways. They try to show God is on their side. They reduced following God to a series of laws and then interpret them in their favor. In favor of the rich and the powerful at the expense of the poor and the powerless. So the prophets challenged that practice. They challenged injustice. They talked about the power, get this, trampling on the poor. Judges who were getting paid off. Some people were starving to death while others were getting insanely rich. Now, of course, none of that sounds like our times, does it? While prophets do not predict specific events in the future, there are lots and lots of ways their words fit our time. The problem is when we're in the middle of it, it can sure feel like the prophets are speaking about our own time because they fit so well. So, in our first reading today from Isaiah, the prophet says, "You will be hungry. You will be enraged at your king and your God. You will choose darkness, and you will be thrust into deeper darkness." Those words fit that time really, really well. But they also fit other times. It's one of the prophecies that we read in Isaiah. That we read in Advent, describing the coming of Jesus. It applies there, too, because at the time Jesus was born, things felt really, really dark for the people. It felt hopeless and awful. They were in the dark, and they were waiting for the light. Did you hear our gospel today? The light that no darkness can overcome. See how it connects? See that connection there? And Isaiah's words fit our time too. If you have ever felt like you were stumbling in the darkness, when there was nothing but gloom and fear, in those times when things were as bad as they could be and you think they can only get worse, in those times when it's so dark, it's pretty important to hear God's promise that the light will shine for you. The light of Christ, the light of God's love, God's peace, God's promise of new life, for every way it feels like darkness has covered us up. Isaiah's words might fit us exactly at certain times, as if they were written just for us. And they were written for us. They weren't written just for us. That's how prophecy works. In some ways, it's timeless. There is a truth in it that will apply in lots of different ways, in different settings and times. But the prophets, Isaiah in particular, they don't leave us hanging. Right after the words of judgment about darkness, Isaiah gives us words of hope. He said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." We Christians understand this referring to Jesus, who we heard in the gospel as light. People before Jesus understood it in different ways. The challenge for us is to hear the voice of the prophets now. Do we choose the ways of evil and call it good? Do we choose darkness and call it light? Well, the short answer is, of course we do. Of course we do. We justify it, we rationalize it, we try to make it sound good and right and religious, but that doesn't make it so. But still, the assumption hangs on that prophets predict the future. So here's what they do predict. We will keep losing our way. We will keep on choosing darkness and calling it light. We will continue to run after other gods. You know what they are: money, power, ourselves, control, things we love too much. And when we choose our other gods, we will face consequences of our actions. We don't need God to punish us. We beat God to it. We choose our own punishment. And prophets also predict this: God waits for us. God calls us to turn around, to repent, to stop substituting being religious for being faithful. And God will always take us back. God is waiting. It's a story we hear in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, in Hosea, in Amos, in all the other prophets. It's what we hear from Jesus. It's the punchline of the prodigal son. It's the point of the story of the rich man and Lazarus and so many other stories Jesus told. God remains faithful to us even when we are not faithful to God. God wants to restore us, to make us whole again, to welcome us home. That is the future prophets predict. Is that the future you want? It's the one God wants.